Hey friends, welcome to the Axiom Church podcast. We're so glad you decided to join us and check out our episode. This is a space where we post our Sunday sermons, and occasionally we have discussions and conversations regarding life in this community and following Jesus. So thank you for listening, and please engage us on our website, axiomchurchaz.com, or on any of our social medias. We'd love to hear from you. Take care.
Thanks for hanging with us. All right, hey, we are still in Eastertide as a church, which means that we are still celebrating the resurrection of Jesus and the implications of what that means on our life. And so this series, Streams in the Wasteland, is all about this idea that just as in the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus goes from death to life, we too are being called out of something and into something new. And that new thing is a life with God as we go where we go. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that means today. And we reference, I'll just go there again briefly, in Isaiah 43, this passage out of verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I really believe at my core that God is shifting something for us, and that he's calling us out of the confines of these four walls and spilling us out into the city, into the places that we already are. That my conviction is, if you no matter where you go, whether it's to the barber shop or to a concert or to the workplace or to the pub, you name it, there are followers of Jesus in every arena that you're going to find yourself in. The question is, have they turned the lights on? Are they activated into the resurrection reality of Jesus, or are they just going about living a comfortable life? And so I believe that God is calling us to live out this new resurrection reality wherever we are, because God is about taking old things and turning them into new things. And that's happened for so many of us as we've given ourselves over to Jesus. And he uses us, his people, to bring about the same newness in others. He is taking old to new, dead to life. But here's what happens. Along the way, as followers of Jesus, we get comfortable. We do. And it's okay. I get comfortable as well. But that's our challenge. And I think God comes and shakes us up a little bit. He stirs the pot from time to time, because we get domesticated in our culture. And we forget the vision of heaven. That God gave us this vision of heaven on earth. He prayed this prayer that heaven would come on, it'd be on earth as it is in heaven. And this idea, this heaven should draw us into that resurrection reality, that we live uniquely and differently in this world. And so if you find yourself getting comfortable, my goal today is to make you uncomfortable. So I just want to name that. It's going to get awkward in here. We're all going to share our secrets. I'm kidding. You'll be okay. But this is what I believe Jesus wants to do for us. He wants to stir the pot. And actually, we need him to do that from time to time, to rattle the cage or to shake up the nest. And we see it over and over again in the scriptures, by the way, that people are getting comfortable where they shouldn't get comfortable. And so he disrupts us. My son Miller, when he started to learn to swim, he was really struggling to swim, and he just kind of decided to just reside to not swimming. Well, it's okay. I just won't be a swimmer. I'll just wear floaties all the time. So I took those stinking floaties off of him. I walked him over to the deep end, and I said, "Go." And he drowned. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. He swam. The kid swam. Now, I wasn't going to let him drown, and that's the truth you need to hear, is that God's going to take you out of your comfort zone. He's going to throw you in the deep end, and he's not going to let you drown. He's not going to let you drown. Because it turns out you were created to swim. And that's just it. You were created to live in light of the resurrection truth wherever you are. So wherever you're feeling real comfortable, guess what? God might be getting ready to move you into a place of discomfort, but it's okay. You know how to be there. He will be there to catch you if you struggle. He will. It's kind of like the picture of the eagle, right? Coaxing their babies out of the nest, you know? Kick them out, watch them fall. And if they're not sure if they're going to make it, they swoop down and catch them. At least that's what I'm told. I don't know if that's actually true. But I think God does that a little bit with us. And we feel like we're going down. We feel like we're crashing. But Daddy doesn't let that happen. But we can't be too comfortable standing on the sidelines. We can't. And I know we do, though, because we say things like, I'm going to root myself here. I'm going to build my life here. We try to manage our locations. We attempt to make things our own, that we get our world to reflect us. We start things. We own things, all to accommodate a sense of being, all to deal with the fact that something feels off, and so we got to sort of pad the room. But we got to face that one. Because I think God sees that and he goes, hey, time out. You were created for heaven, not this other place you're starting to get real cozy in. And if we look at Jesus, we see that that Jesus moves towards the costly place. And so, as we looked at last week, and we're looking at it again this week, God comes along and he whispers to us just when we get comfortable. He says those precious two-letter word. He says, go. Go. And the thing we got to keep in mind about that call, that whisper, is when you hear it, because you've all heard it, here's what you probably did or normally do. Oh, I don't think that was him. Nah, if that was God's voice, he would have made it a lot clearer. And we sort of like negotiate the rules of how God engages us. But here's a discerning gift for you, a tool. Maybe the uncomfortable thing is the thing God's calling you to, because he disrupts us in our nest. He pulls us out of our comfort zone because he's taking us to a place. He's moving us towards heaven, and as he does that, he's activating us to be a blessing to other people. That's what we read over and over again. So if you find yourself feeling called to something, but it feels costly, it's probably a good starting point for discernment for you. That maybe this thing is, after all, what God's asking of me. Now, I bring this up because we weren't built for here. We were built for heaven. This in-between isn't it. And for some reason, in this in-between, we're decorating the tents. But you live in a tent. I hope you like camping. Because that's what we're doing. Between here and home, we're living in transition. We are in an exile. Think about it. The first exile, it wasn't Egypt. Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden into a place that they didn't belong, and they roamed the earth. And all of Israel was a nomadic people. God keeps us on the move. He refuses to let us get too comfortable. And every time we do, he's going to come along and shake it up. How many times have you got to a place and you're like, oh, finally I've arrived, and you go to have your little seat just to realize, oh, shoot, this ain't it. It doesn't take long. It's real frustrating, by the way, God, if we're being honest. But God knows that keeping you on the move is better for who you become than leaving you right where you are. That's the nature of this thing. It's a journey. And the journey is how you get shaped into who you're becoming. It's what God uses. So stay scrappy. Stay on your feet. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, we read the beginning of Abram's story. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." And just right there already, and I just want to hang here for a second, he doesn't say, here's the address, put it in your iPhone, and listen to Siri. She'll take you there step by step. He says, leave everything that's defined who you are. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household. Leave your past for this unknown, mysterious future that I'm calling you to. Wow, real appetizing, Jesus, you know? And we have to wrestle with that because Abram is, in fact, being stirred from the nest to leave the Chaldeans and to go to this promised land. And God doesn't tell him exactly where it's going to be or exactly what it's going to look like. But it is going to cost him, isn't it? His family, his home, his country, his father's household. And so our calling often will take us not just from our past and what has defined us, but it will also take us from the future because your past, the things you've been doing has been in preparation for your plans for your future. Feel the weight of that? God might say, hey, I know you were, you know, rearranging the furniture and you were thinking this was kind of it and it's all going to work out, but I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done shaping who you are. I will make you into a great nation. See, he's going to develop something. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will become a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham decides, you know, okay, we only know about this story, by the way, because Abraham said yes. In fact, all the stories in the scriptures are stories of people who said, oh yeah, that was God's voice, and I am going to go. And that's why we've heard about it. And he goes not downstream, he goes upstream, out of his defining reality and into this new reality that God is shaping and forming. Leave your country, your people, and your house. Go to the land I will show you, into the unknown. For all the Frozen fans. Kendall and I have talked about what it would be like to just uproot ourselves and go. Has anybody here ever daydreamed, fantasized about that? It's always Europe, right? Why is it always Europe? We're like, yeah, we'll just get up and leave everything behind. And it'll all be great. But inevitably, we come to our senses and say, yeah, I can't leave home. Because we've become defined by the places we live and by the people we live it out with. To leave isn't just to leave your past, but as I said already, your plans. But God's saying, go. What do I do? It's hard to let go for all the Frozen fans. Let it go? No? All right. It's hard to let it go. Heck, Kendall and I own a store full of things because we can't let go of it. It's all nostalgic vintage goods, things that should have gone to the wasteland. Here we are. No, it's still good. We'll keep it around for another generation. It's hard. But when God whispers, he whispers. And it's a tent. And we're nomadic. See, contrary to the way the world we're not building an empire. God, it has us on the move, infiltrating all domains, every place. On this rock, I will build my house, Jesus says. Which rock? Now, a lot of us think it's Peter, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Two sermons from now, come back. So we're being called out. Stranger in a foreign land, the scriptures say. An immigrant spirit. A resident alien. These are the ways that we are talked about as followers of Jesus. So Abram is invited to leave it all for a relationship with God and the promises that he whispers to him. And I'm tempted to think Abram's going to go. He's going to set up house. He's going to get reestablished. Okay, fine, I'll go. So he gets his things. He goes over there. He gets set up. Shop's going. All right, good to go. That's not what happens. If you read the story, right, like many, many chapters of stories, he sends him and he's just kind of going from place to place, constantly on the move. As soon as he gets somewhere, he gets uprooted again and has to move again. Every time it's like when you're on one of those terrible things people do called hikes, where you think you're at the vista or the whatever, you think you've arrived at the summit, and as soon as you get to that stinking summit, you realize there's another one. You got to go down and climb back up, and then you get there, and then there's another one. And this is what's happening to Abram. Isn't that us, though? We always think we've figured it out. It's interesting to me that the place he finally gets to and sets up shop, it's a cemetery where he ends up burying his wife. And there's, again, something going on in that I haven't put all together, that God is communicating, that we go until we're with him in that way. Our home is really only where he is. So he tells him anyways, I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. So the new thing, the stream in the wasteland, is that Abram is going to be a blessing where he goes. Notice the goal is not that his name will be great, but that he'll be a blessing. So here's how he does it, guys. This is how he does it with us. We're going to go for a walk, you and I, God says. And along the way, that walk with me is going to shape who you are. You are going to become a blessing on the journey. He didn't put some fairy dust on Abram, and Abram was just poof, a blessing. It was the journey itself that allowed him to become the blessing that all of us have got to experience. You're going to go for a walk with me so that you can become something, because the alternative, sitting, staying put, that journey, well, according to the text, I think what it's really getting at becomes a curse. Now, I'm not saying you guys, some of you are thinking, finally, honey, we can sell the house. That's not what I'm saying. Your journey is what God's going to, what you're going to go through. The question is, are you going to go through it with God? Are you going to let him send you through it? Or will it always be a curse? But that's what shapes us. Which means that every one of us in this room has to go. Not one of you gets left out from that. The alternative to not going is to stay back in the Chaldeans, to miss out on the promised land, the relationship that God's inviting us into. See, the journey is responsible for our becoming. And here's the truth. For some of you, that journey is going to be a long road. Because we have a long way to go, don't we? How many of you have like struggled with something for like way too long now? And it's like, man, how long is it going to take? I mean, seriously, God, you are so slow sometimes. Have you ever noticed that? Or here I am again, back at that place I thought I'd been through. Very frustrating. I get it. But I really think God's looking at us in that moment. He's going, hey, like, I'm sorry. I'm not done with you. I'm building my Mona Lisa here. Give me a minute. Let God take his time on you. Be patient with him. Be patient with him. It's worth it. The other night, my brother fixed up a fine choice cut of steak, and he sent me a picture of it raw and bloody. He goes, my house, 8 o'clock. That's all I needed, guys. That was it. Might as well have been heaven. And so me and Eric hop in our car as fast as we can because we've both been invited to the steak of our lives. And we get there as quick as we can, only to find out when we get there, I don't even smell the meat. I'm like, yo, was that some cruel trick? Where's the beef? He goes, oh, it's cooking. Okay, well, you sent me a photo an hour ago. What do you mean it's cooking? Whoa, no, it's slow cooking. It's slow cooking. All right, how much time we got? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe an hour, maybe two. Now, it's a long story to tell you, it was worth the wait. It was a good steak. I gave him an amen or two after I ate that steak. It was that good. The point is, we're so tempted to rush to something, guys, and when we do that, we exchange a much greater thing for a far less thing. The trial of your life is shaping who you are. God is forming you into a gift, just like his son. We shouldn't try to bypass that. God took Abram on a journey that would allow him to become a blessing to people and to all the nations. And that journey included a lot of detours, a lot of mishaps, and it was good for him. Guys, think about it. At the beginning, seriously, if you know his story, at the beginning of Abram's journey, okay? Notice, I think it's in the same chapter, in chapter 12, before you even get to the end of that chapter, he goes to Egypt, okay? And when he gets to Egypt, he realizes that he's in trouble. They might try to kill him. And so clever Abram says, I know what I'll do. I'll get my wife to pretend that she's my sister, which is super weird, by the way, but that's what he's going to do to keep everything cool. It turns out it saves his life, but because he is lying about it and because he's mischievous about it, what happens to Egypt? Egypt experiences a curse. So Abram's called to go be a blessing, and the first thing he does is goes and ruins an entire town. Think about that. That at the early stage of his journey, he had not yet fully become a blessing. And as a result, there was a curse that took place. But if you keep following the story, eventually he gets to Sodom. Years and years later, he's learning his lesson. He's becoming the thing God's creating him to be. And by the time he gets to Sodom, to the place where you would think, okay, now it's time to drop some, you know, stuff to wipe these guys off planet Earth. So he gets to Sodom, and you just think, okay, it's judgment's coming. But he says, wait, time out, God, hold on. If there's like 50 just people here, do you think you could spare it? And he starts to kind of question God. Oh, what if it was only 45 or 35 or 30? Would you spare it then? How about 10? How about just one? And you can just kind of see God smiling in the background. Who is this person that wants to bless the most wicked? But that's what he's doing. You see, the journey has shaped who he's become. And now he's the kind of person that even wants to care for the least of the least. Which, guys, this is what blessings are. The blessings are for those that don't have it. That's why we're salt and light. We're water in a wasteland. But it takes a journey of formation to get to that place. But guys, I want to get there, and I want to get there with you. I want to be a witness to your blessing. And I want you to be a witness to one another's and mine, that we can enter into the Sodoms of our world and pour out ourselves for others. Will you let your journey shape that in you? Or will you put your foot down and stay put where you are and allow your life to get eaten up from the inside out? Sour the fruit. It's hard, I know. Abram intercedes for a city, and God puts him in a city that needs water. It's interesting in the story. He goes on to say, "I will bless those who bless you." So, here's God's math of blessing, which is strange, but in you now being a blessing through your journey, they will be blessed, and because of it, they will turn around and bless you. That's what the text says. And then it says, and God will then bless them too. You see, God is rearranging the deck. He's shifting the system. And he's moving us out of transaction and into mercy. Out of climbing the ladder and into justice for all. He is quite literally taking his people and turning the lights on so that they can become a blessing in all places. And that blessing isn't just, oh, high five, you're doing great, keep going. No, it's restorative from top to bottom. It's a detox from top to bottom. It's a cleansing. It's life. It's streams of living water. And wherever the river flows, there living creatures will flow with it. So we read last week. You are God's faucet. God is using you. That's why we're here. We're going to be a loving presence in this place just by being here. And the longer we're here over time, as we walk out our journey, we will learn how to become an even greater blessing for those around us. That's why we set up a coffee shop, okay? That's why George walks the street every week and prays faithfully for years now. That's why Mike and the crew set up every month for Second Saturdays and invite in, it's like God's banquet. Hey, tell everybody to come. Fill the house. That's why Eric moves in three doors down. That's why Ted and Sylvia and Vivian and Tom, they pray on Fridays. They come here and they just to pray. I'm like, what are you doing here? Ooh, we just wanted to pray. Great. Let's do it together. Streams of living water. Let's be a cup that's overflowing in the heat of the day. It's why the moms, go get to that stinking playground. I swear those moms are all over the place. They're taking over. And our moms are out there with their little minions, and they're out there blessing people and meeting people and bumping shoulders. It's incredible and terrifying all at the same time. But that's just it. We're leaking out. Let's leak out of this place and into the neighborhood and into the workplace. And into the schools and into the city hall. Let's get that water straight up to Mayor Beck's desk. We can do that. We can do that. So Jesus prays that heaven will come, and we say amen. But until then, don't get too comfortable in your tents. We live for the home that God is making for us. And Jesus himself reminds us of the costly journey, doesn't he? Let me pray.